This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Good afternoon. This is Front Row on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Julia Jacobs. The Kuala Lumpur Biennale 2017 exhibition kicked off late last year, and it celebrates the theme of Beloved and features works by 114 individuals from across the continents, consisting of 103 artists from Malaysia and 11 international artists. The exhibition consists of specially curated selections spanning several eras and includes paintings and installations encapsulated within five pillars, namely love for humanity, animals, nature, heritage, and spirituality. I find out more from Tan Hui Kun, a curator with the National Art Gallery of Malaysia. Welcome, Kun. How are you today?
Hi.
Thank you so much for joining us. So maybe we can just get to know you a little bit. You know, tell me a bit about your education background. You know, what kind of got you into visual arts?
I love visual arts. So after SPM, I straight studying in visual and digital art. But I'm trained as a fine artist. And then slowly turn to curator.
Okay, and why is that? What kind of made that, you know, that change in your path?
In our landscape, we all, even the higher education institution, providing fine art training. Mm-hmm. We're kind of hard to know more about these fine art fields, which is we have different hats mm-hmm. and we have different jobs. So slowly when get involved in exhibiting, training as a fine artist, and then we slowly do be introduced, we are lacking of writers, we are lacking of curators, okay. We are lacking of art historians, and slowly this all coming in, yeah. Mm-hmm. If not, then as a fine artist, most of the fine artists wearing a lot of hats.
I guess you have the best knowledge about it as well, right? Because you've studied it and all of that. So you chose to focus on curatorship in particular.
Yes.
Are you also doing art history and things like that?
Well, I'm doing art history. Definitely, that's one of the basic requirements as entitled curator in museum. Mm-hmm. Then I'm planning to pursuing my master in art history.
Okay, all right. So what actually, I guess for someone who doesn't quite know, we always hear the term curator, right? But for someone who doesn't understand, what is a curator, you know? What is the kind of your job scope? You know, what are the many hats that you have to wear just as a curator?
Well, curate, this word is quite hype in nowadays. It's beyond museum. Yeah. A lot of people can just say, I curate my Instagram.
Yeah.
I curate my retail shops. Curators, the word originally from a museum, evolved from the words of caretaker or conservator, curer, mm-hmm. and slowly evolved to become today's the term of curators who have to fit in the space, labeling, framing, conceptualizing, managing, handling, a lot.
So, I mean, you need to kind of like cultivate taste, you need to kind of find out what's important, you need to show how to reflect that through an exhibition. I mean, I'm guessing there has to be kind of like a narrative as well in an exhibition, right? Because usually they're themed, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
So, so that's a lot of work to do.
Yeah. So, we have to check, always study on our audience behavior as well. Mm-hmm. What's their interest? Mm-hmm. How usual audience will walk through? What is their patterns, behavior patterns? Yeah.
In the exhibition.
Mm-hmm. So we plan accordingly.
I see. So that means there's a lot of observation that you need to do. You need to be quietly watching in a corner as well, I guess.
Yes.
The little sentinels. So, you know, you also, as a curator, you know, you need to kind of know what's going on. You know, you need to keep abreast of, like, what's happening, what people are interested in. So how do you kind of go about tackling that?
In the gallery, for the exhibitions, I think the most literal job that can observe the audience behavior is gallery sitting.
Okay.
Yeah.
Could you tell me a bit more about that?
Gallery sitters, basically, they are just someone there, at least when to encounter with the end questions from the audience, to guide, to helping, to assist.
Mm-hmm.
By the same time, also have to always checking if the artwork's conditions always well.
No one is touching it and doing stupid things.
All, you know, because they are multimedia artwork as well.
Sure.
Yeah, so to make sure all the works are operate properly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because it's terrible, right? If people go and it's not functioning properly, right?
Yes.
So I guess another visual cue that would happen now or that would appear now is how many people are taking photos of it, or, you know, the kind of popularity
Insta,
of certain,
yeah.
How many of it is getting Insta'd and, you know, put up. And I guess just witnessing people's behavior towards certain artworks as well, that kind of helps you gauge what speaks to people.
Well, we have a few. As a curator, definitely we have narrative and we have our words to say to the public. Therefore, how we arrange the exhibitions. But some of the work is very eye-catching.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, therefore, it's very easy to attract this all. It's more popular mm-hmm. in social media.
Mm-hmm.
People love to take pictures in front of the huge projections.
I can attest to that, yeah.
Yeah. Well, we forbidden to bring in selfie sticks, just in case the selfie stick will broke any artwork.
Okay, yeah. So this is you're speaking specifically about the National Art Gallery.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay,
but some of the work they're meant to take time to contemplate. It's not just for one's eye catching.
Yeah,
yeah. A tech picture. Some of the work really have to stay there, take times. Reading and observing mm-hmm. because it's more on performative process. So one exhibition to make it interesting and keep the audience momentum always exciting. Therefore, we have these all different works interweave.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
And in between. Yeah.
Okay, and I was just curious, I mean, you are a curator of the National Art Gallery, our National Art Gallery. What would you say kind of defines the gallery's mission? What is, you know, our whole National Art Gallery's aim?
Yeah, this one I've been thinking.
Okay.
There's a lot of expectation,
mm-hmm.
Actually, for as a curator, entitled curator in a museum, the very basic responsibility is caretaker.
Okay.
Yeah, it's towards our collections.
Mm-hmm.
We have more than about 4,000 collections currently.
Amazing.
Yeah. So that is our basic, daily basic jobs, to just look at our collections, start thinking every year's collections, permanent collections, exhibitions. We are keep on pushing the ideas of if we can have a permanent exhibitions mm-hmm. instead of thematically changing,
okay.
Because that is more on educational purpose.
Okay, so having a mix of the two, is that kind of what you're saying?
Mix of to plan the whole. In one museum, we have 7 galleries.
For sure, yeah.
Yeah, so how we dividing or how we blend the exhibition accordingly, space.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay, according to the confines of the National Art Gallery itself.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. And I mean, you know, you, for the past 5 years, you've led the education division in planning and developing educational programs. You've also been proposing public engagement and audience building strategy. I mean, tell me about that kind of work that you had to do within that.
There's a lot of infographic about different people. These public programs basically also have to accumulate a community, sense of community to National Art Gallery.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, through the public program, we have to cluster it into different programs for different ages.
Okay.
Yeah, for different needs. So for the past 5 years, it's very challenging. Public programs, it means we most of the time work more than 6 days a week. as a national entity, people expecting we are collaborating or we are in the positions of the higher hierarchy.
Okay.
People were expecting us to, you know, just snap and then we can get 100 buses to come in. But this all need a lot of work to roll up, to cross the ministries, collaborations, to constantly, consistent creating programs that attract interested families, or mm-hmm. to attract the different ministries' interest as well.
Right.
So that they can assist us, especially like, let's say, the Ministry of Education. Mm-hmm. They can't just stream the student coming in. They would like to know what kind of programs that hit the niche of their education purpose.
Of course.
Yeah, so 5 years consistent work finally attract or draws the attention from different ministry of different organizations, different parties as well, that we can work together and, well, under the wings of education, we have more than 10 Sekolah Angkat.
Mm-hmm.
That we can collaborate instantly without bureaucracy process.
Sure.
Yeah. Creating another interest, which is Curators Talk mm-hmm. Forum.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we have about like 5 prominent international curators having talk in the series before.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this is specifically for students?
This is specifically for students and also professions.
Professions?
Yeah.
Okay, so professions that are linked kind of in some way to visual arts?
Professions linked some way to those who are interested, because curatorial in exhibitions is quite new.
Mm-hmm.
We're just starting.
Right.
To talk about it, we have more... Currently, we have more discussions and more to probing the roles of curators.
Right.
Yeah. If compared with like 5 years ago or 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So the curators talk, or the forum, basically inviting more prominent figures to share their knowledge and experience, yet to generate the interest among young generations
mm-hmm.
who are looking to look seriously into curatorial.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a tough job.
And yeah. So the families, we have fun club to attract the families, package for the families, and then, but I have to say, probably to say, Nash Art Gallery really serving the people mm-hmm. because those who come to attend our programs are really those family that they are not the privileged family.
Okay, so
most of them
lower income,
lower
groups?
Income. Yeah, therefore they are looking for free program,
course,
somewhere
yeah.
to go, affordable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so these all the target that we reach out actually is very satisfying.
Okay, and it's an ongoing thing, obviously, right?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. I'm speaking today to Tan Hui Kun. She's a curator at the National Art Gallery of Malaysia. And well, we've been discussing her job, her role as a curator and what a curator is. And after this quick break, we will find out more about the Kuala Lumpur Biennale 2017. This is Front Row on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Good afternoon. This is Front Row on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Juliet Jacobs. In the studio with me today is Tan Hui Kun. She is a curator at the National Art Gallery of Malaysia, and we are discussing the Kuala Lumpur Biennale 2017. So you were one of the co-curators of this exhibition. Tell me about, you know, the madness of putting this whole thing together. And I use the word madness because I can imagine it must have been crazy.
Yeah, I'm one appointed curator
mm-hmm.
From three of us has been appointed as curator in less than 6 months.
You're given
about like half the year before, prior to exhibitions,
okay.
to realization of exhibitions.
Right.
So basically, it's very intense. It's kind of like dropping a bomb to us, three of us, to suddenly to become the curators of the KL Biennale. Because before that, I'm in charge of public program of KL Biennale, another two, they are the researcher for a sessions, a certain specific sessions of the Cal Biennale. Mm-hmm. And then, quite last minute, we three of us appointed at the very end stage of the preparation.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, to putting up the exhibition. So we are glad we managed to do it. We went through it. It's chaotic. It's a chaos.
Okay, and I guess then let's talk about kind of like that madness that, okay, so it was madness, obviously, but who among the artists that you worked with or, who, you know, whose pieces did you kind of decide would go into this exhibition? So the theme, of course, as I mentioned in my intro, was
Beloved,
right? So, yeah, tell me about that. Why was that the theme chosen?
Three of us, we have been divided our job, okay. So mine is actually only responsible to be love for nature.
Okay. My favorite of them all, yeah.
Yeah. Well, thank you. So I have to start from the scratch to looking for stories, people stories. Mm-hmm. If you realize each exhibition, we have one entry point. Yeah. There's one story from the people. Mm-hmm. They are not visual artists, they are not a visual thing. It's like a beloved for animals. We have one animal lover, we turn into visual.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
The graffiti room. And then my beloved for nature, I pick up the story of Sungai Moro Li, a contribution by the late Jeffrey Majangki, mm-hmm. who start policing the traditional custom of Dusun, mm-hmm. system Tagal. Yeah, it become a successful policy in Sabah, mm-hmm. to preserve the river. This one is very special because now we are curator turned to installation artists or artistic directors to visualize the stories, mm-hmm. into the exhibition space.
Right.
And apart from that, we are also planning the whole exhibitions with the selected artwork. Yeah, I did adjust a little bit. We have a little bit minor adjustment for the list. The artwork list, because being more than 1 year, the list, the art selected artworks and selected artists actually has been went through long process. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a board and panels of selections.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, we went through the whole list and then until eventually when we got, each of us got the list, the kind of not say final, but then we did a minor selection, adjust accordingly our curatorial directions.
Right.
Yeah, so I did some minor adjustment and proposed few more names and then and also proposed lots of our artworks from our permanent collections to enhance the my session, basically.
Okay, and who are some of the artists' works that we might kind of encounter throughout the exhibition? Any familiar names? Okay, so all of these, you have to source for it, right? So are they part of the National Art Gallery's permanent collection, or did you have to go to different collectors or go to the artists themselves to come and kind of, you know, put their artworks there? How does it work, actually?
They are time constrained.
Mm-hmm. Six months.
6 months. So we have to quickly to pick up what works possible.
Sure.
Most of it that we can't. The most critical part is we don't have budget, luxurious budget like others. Biennale can commission artists.
I see.
We don't have any commissioned works. So to be fair, then we select most of, from my part, I select the existing artwork from the artist.
Sure.
So we learn the artwork from the artist.
Sure.
Only they are like favor, like artists do return in a favor. Some of the artists basically they propose new work.
Right.
Yeah, they create new work for the for the Biennale.
Okay.
So it's very rewarding.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay, so I guess then, you know, you've put everything together, you've thought it out, you know, all of that is done. What kind of conversations do you hope will come out from this, you know, from the theme, from the artworks, you know, what kind of conversations do you hope will be sparked from it?
Well, I think general public, because for the art scene people, I don't think the title, at first this KL Biennale the title has been framed to tackle the layman. The general public,
mm-hmm.
because it is the first. Therefore, we have most of the local artists as well. And then also, we would like to justify why we need a Biennale, such a mega event
mm-hmm.
For the society.
Right.
Yeah. So, KLB Love is to attract general public interest, to let them close with art.
Mm-hmm,
to let them open their eye that, see, art is important, essentially it's important. They are not just visually pleasant. They also have strong message. Let's say there is all activists, social activists, what they have been done, and then we turn into visual,
mm-hmm.
and then they get the information from the installation, artworks, and then therefore then we introduce different genre of artworks, artists from different region as well.
Mm-hmm.
So from there, it's more educational, engaging, cultivating audience, new audiences.
Yeah.
Yeah. For discourse, art discourse, some people will think it's a bit Hello Kitty. Like, you know, beloved, yeah.
I see.
Yeah, so to have a critical discussion about beloved, the word, is so not so much exciting
mm-hmm.
For art people. Most of, because, I don't know, in Bahasa, there will be belas, but then if we put in another word, will be belasa. You know, belasa is mostly like bashing.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Art seemed more towards belasa. It's very critical. There's a lot of, this all cynical parody. Yeah, people would like to project in art instead of talking about just a message, positive message.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So in the way, we have to choose. Either we are favored into which we are serving to which community.
Mm-hmm.
So for the first KL Biennale, we are servicing the larger community.
Okay.
This is not meant for just an artsy, fussy art event. Not yet, I don't think. Probably we can slowly building up. Still a long way to go. This is the first.
So I guess it's kind of like making it accessible to everybody, right? That is the kind of aim. So once you kind of like get people in and say the art is not as inaccessible as you think it is, then slowly you can start to, you know, think of more, I guess, for lack of a better word, critical type themed works and exhibitions and such?
Yes.
Okay, all right. I went for the Biennale, and I brought my little daughter, 2 years old, and she absolutely loved it, you know. And I remember the people around us were a lot of young families as well, you know, looking for a place to go on a Saturday afternoon. So it was nice, and the children were, you know, interacting. There was this small piece, I can't remember the artist's name, but it was like hidden in corners of the gallery, very tiny little like model things, right?
Yeah, there's a very small miniature by Novia Shin. Yeah.
You know, it's lovely to kind of like, you know, as you're turning the corner, suddenly, hey, what's that? And, you know, go and interact. And I think just now you alluded to this one huge projection with a lot of words.
Running text, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, my daughter was fascinated. She just kept, you know, she couldn't peel her away from there.
Yeah.
And I think another favorite of mine was, and I suspect you had something to do with it, it was fishnets. It looked like a lot of, it was all silver and it was all fish and pollution coming out from a drain, am I correct?
Yeah, that is actually wire mesh.
Wire mesh, that's the word I'm looking for.
Wire mesh, yeah. But then have been installed by Jamil Zakaria.
Mm-hmm.
Stunning piece. The water splashing out it's a lubo. Lubo basically means that the river spots that were fertilized, the spot that encouraged fish to lubo basically is means the spot of the suitable for fish.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, the, where the fish are...
Go to reproduce and...
Go to reproduce, yeah.
Okay, okay.
Because it's not that any place, any spots, the fish will reproduce.
Mm-hmm.
Fish will looking for a suitable spot.
Yes, of
yeah,
course.
Yeah.
Am I wrong in saying that this is also a take on pollution?
No, it's actually a take from a Malay proverb.
Okay.
Yeah. Fish will know where they come from. They will go back to the place where they come from.
I see.
Yeah.
So it's about origins and things like that.
Yes.
Okay, fascinating. All right. And so, okay, we know that the Biennale is actually ending this month. You know, we've got until the 30th of March. Why should people come visit, you know? I mean, what do you hope, you know, people will come and see and get out of this whole thing?
Well, I think definitely it's worth visiting because first, this Cal Biennale is not, it's really targeting on everyone's favor. Second is the interval of this all social activism that fit into the Cal Biennale.
Mm-hmm.
Each, we have 7 rooms, 6 galleries, we have 6 stories, that means. We have 6 stories from people,
mm-hmm.
From Sabah, from KL, or from Sarawak, you know, from Penang, yeah. The artists themselves, 2 of the stories is like Thank You, Mr. Tan, and the second floor, Mr. Tan Wei King is an artist, but what he have been done impact the Penang community.
Mm-hmm.
So the stories basically is from one of the girls' narrative. To talk about Mr. Tan.
I see, okay.
How Mr. Tan contributed or helped the Penang community.
Right.
Yeah, until the Penang kids slowly expose the girls that we selected to narrate Mr. Tan's story. She's now in the teacher's training.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah, so the Penang kids basically they exposed to education and then they... Yeah, gradually growing up, and then the new batch is coming in, you know. Waking still helping close. It's very neat relationship with the Penang community. Yeah. Coming up probably in this second floor, we have 2 huge box. Basically, we are requesting, we open for donation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so anyone who are interested to contribute school bags, you know, any new schools, accessories that want to contribute to the Penang community, you can just drop into that 2 box.
Okay.
And then we'll send to the Penang community.
Okay, lovely. That's on the second floor of the gallery, you're saying? Okay.
So Mayang Malik, the cat lover, and then how she helped the adopt and then give all these medical needs to the adopted cats.
Uh-huh.
Well, the Sungai Moroh Lee now is a famous fish spa spot in Sabah. It's surprisingly because after preservation, the fish is, you know, flush. Yeah, a lot of fish, wild fish, basically.
Uh-huh.
The fish is as big as this length, about like 1 foot and plus.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a small, tiny fish.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's huge. But then there are wild fish. The wild fish are very close, friendly.
Okay.
Yeah. So it attracts a lot of people. It's a surprise from the river preservation to create ecotourism.
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
Nature's own spa, I suppose.
Yeah, nature's own spa. Well, the families... The late Jeffrey Majenki passed away 2016 because of cancer. So now it's the family takeover and the community who trusted him.
Mm-hmm.
So then actually it's a community effort, yeah, to put these preservations in place.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they safeguard the river.
Okay, all right. So I guess there's something for everybody here. There's a bit of, like you said, it's all about love, right?
Yeah.
Essentially. So there's obviously something for everybody there.
Yeah, the title, the theme is very universal. It touched on everything. Art is not just a commentary tools, but it also shows the actions, the impact of the action. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Excellent. Thank you so much, Rikun. So the Kuala Lumpur Biennale is open to the public until the 30th of March 2018. So that's the end of the month. You've got only 1 month left. And the gallery is open every day from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. And admission is free. For more information, you can visit artgallery.gov.my. If you miss any part of this interview or if you'd like to hear previous Front Row interviews, you can download the podcasts on the BFM app, which is available on Google Play and the App Store. Thank you again, Rikun. It's been so nice chatting with you.
Thank you, Julia.
I've been speaking to Tan Hui Kun, a curator at the National Art Gallery, and we were discussing the Kuala Lumpur Biennale 2017. This is Front Row on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.